And now, boys and girls, it's time for the further adventures of Big John and Sparky. Today's chapter is entitled, Yuki Throws Down the Gauntlet. Well, Sparky has returned home after a long absence. He had run away, you know. He's back home again, and we're all very glad about that. Of course, Mayor Plumfront and I were both very anxious to find out where Sparky had been. Sparky was in his room. I sent him there because he had caused us all a lot of anguish, and I wanted to teach him a lesson. But now, as we join today's episode, Yuki Butcher, Mayor Plumfront, and I are talking in the living room of our home all the way up the next block.
Well, now, Yuki, now that the lad is upstairs in his room, tell us how you found him. Where was he?
Yeah, where was he, Yuki? He couldn't have been very far from home because it didn't take you very long to find him and bring him back here.
Well, he was further away from home than you fellas think.
Oh? Well, I don't see how that could be possible. You weren't gone from here more than a few hours.
Yeah, that's right, Yuki. He left here early in the afternoon. Said you was going out to your inventing laboratory on your farm to invent a magic travel machine so as you could go to the land of make-believe to find Sparky. And it wasn't no time at all till you were back with the lad.
Now, wait a minute. Do you fellas mean to tell me that you weren't out there on my farm with me? Do you mean that you didn't get a telephone call from me to come out to the farm and help me work on the magic travel machine?
Why, of course not, Yuki. We were here all afternoon. We haven't left the house. In fact, we haven't left this room, have we, Mayor?
Nope. Been here all afternoon. Telephone didn't even ring.
Well, now, that isn't something. And there are people up there at the land of make-believe really pull some high and mighty magic to make people, persons, forget what's going on.
Yuki, what in the world are you sitting there muttering to yourself about?
Fellas, I'm going to tell you what happened to me this afternoon. And to you, too, although you don't remember it. But first, let me collect my thoughts.
Now, what in the world is he talking about, Buster?
I don't know, Mayor. I'm as much in the dark as you.
Now, fellas, don't disturb me. I'm collecting my thoughts so as I can tell you the most fantastic tale you've ever heard. Now, just let me think.
Yeah, sure, Yuki. Okay. Go ahead and think.
Now, fellas, before I begin to tell you the most amazing story you have ever heard before in all your born days, allow me to ask you a question.
Yeah, sure, Yuki. Go ahead. What's the question?
If you ask me, it'll just be something silly.
Now, just let me ask the question, Mayor. Tell me this. Does the time between when I left here to go out to my inventing laboratory and the time I came back here with Sparky, does it seem like it passed by pretty quick?
Well, I suppose it does, Yuki. The time passed by rather quickly this afternoon. Wouldn't you say so, Mayor?
Well, the time flew by like it had wings, but I don't see what this has got to do with where and how Yuki found the lad.
Well, just keep your hat on, Mayor, and I'll tell you. Fellas, what would you say if I told you that you did things this afternoon that you don't even remember?
I'd say one of us was loony, Yuki. That's what I'd say. And I'd say something else, too. I'd say you was the one.
Now, wait a minute, Mayor. Let's give Yuki a chance to explain what he's talking about. Go ahead, explain yourself, Yuki.
Well, fellas, first I want to say that I have been successful in inventing a highly scientific magic travel machine. A travel machine which has taken me to the land of make-believe.
That sounds like a lot of wind to me. I won't believe it until I see it.
Well, you already have seen it, Mayor. In fact, you and Big John operated it for me, and you sent me to the land of make-believe.
Now listen to him, Buster. Trying to tell me that I did something I know well enough I have never done no such thing.
Well, you just think you ain't never done no such thing, Mayor.
Now, Yuki, but you, if I'd done such a thing, I'd remember it, wouldn't I?
Not if Mr. Oglesharp, who is a big shot up there in the land of make-believe, worked some magic on your brain so she'd forget you, wouldn't.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. That's what I suspect has happened. Allow me to tell you the whole story from the very beginning.
Yeah, that'd be the best thing to do, Yuki. Tell us the whole story right from the beginning.
Yeah, fine. And at precisely 36 minutes past 12 o'clock noon, I left here and went to my inventing laboratory on my farm. I laid down on my genuine leather thinking couch, and I thought up a way to invent a magic travel machine. After I had vetted it, I called you fellas up on the telephone, and I told you to come on out and help me work it. Well, sir, by the time you got there, what about the baby? To the bottom of a Tangley Tower, and the next thing you know, I was back in my vet laboratory with Sparky. And he refused to admit anything. He said he'd been there all the time, but I know better. I happen to know that them there people in the land of make-believe they don't want any people persons from the earth to know about their secrets. So Mr. Oglesharp worked some magic on our brains so as we'd forget what happened whilst I was in my magic travel machine.
That's very good, Yuki. Very interesting story. Very interesting. But explain one thing. If this here Mr. Oglesharp worked some kind of magic on our brains so as we wouldn't remember nothing about it, how come you still remember?
Oh, that's very easy to explain. It's because I have a very highly scientific brain. It's impossible to work forgetting magic on a brain like mine. You see, I have a most unusual brain.
You can say that again. Well, Yuki, I'm not saying your theory isn't right, and I'm not saying it is. All I know is I'm happy to have Sparky home again, and now that we've heard your story, I'm going to let Sparky come out of his room. I think he's learned his lesson by now. Sparky? Sparky?
Yes, again?
Come on down. You can come out of your room now.
Okay, Big John.
What's the matter, Mayor? You act like you don't believe my story about my successful visit to the land of make-believe.
Ooh, I'm just trying to figure out how you come up with so many outrageous stories like you come up with.
Well, Mayor, it's the truth. That their story I just told you is a scientific account of what happened to me today. It's the very thing that happened.
And how are we going to have a party, Big John?
What party's that?
Well, the one you're going to give me to celebrate my homecoming.
There isn't going to be any party, Sparky. Not right now, anyway.
See, Yuki, I told you that he wouldn't be glad to see me back again.
Now, Sparky, of course I'm glad to have you back again.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you're so happy to see me again, then how come you've got a picture of that Miss McClenahan on your dresser up in your room?
Oh, Sparky, my feeling for Miss McClenahan has nothing to do whatever with my feeling for you. Can't I like her and like you, too? It isn't any different than the fact that I like the mayor, too, and I like Yuki. Now, I like both of them, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't like you somehow, does it?
No, but that Miss McClenahan is a girl. That's what makes it different.
Oh, Sparky.
Say, Big John, I have a few questions I would like to pose to you. A
few questions? About what?
About this here very charming and beautiful young lady, Miss Rosalie McClenahan.
Oh, what about her?
Well, for instance, you was dating her.
Well, there's no for instance about it, Yuki. I am dating her. I have a date to go to a little picnic with her this coming Sunday afternoon down at Cumberland Lake in Kentucky.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Well, Big John, supposing some other feller should enter the picture and start dating her, what would you do about that?
Well, I wouldn't do anything about it. After all, I couldn't very well do anything about it. I have no claims on Miss McClenahan. She's perfectly free to do as she pleases. If she wishes to date someone else, that's entirely up to her. But, well, the keener the competition, the better I like it. After all, I think I can account pretty well for myself in affairs of the heart.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Well, yes.
Well, thank God, suppose that this here feller, who is highly handsome but completely charming, should happen to turn out to be a very good friend of yours, who was out to steal Miss McClenahan away from you.
What?
Yeah, supposing that, Big John.
Well, I wouldn't think it was very nice of him, especially if he was supposed to be a very close friend of mine.
In other words, you wouldn't like it one bit, would you?
Well, no. No, I wouldn't, Yuki. A true friend just doesn't set out to steal a fellow's girlfriend away from him.
That's 100% correct. In fact, you would consider your friendship with that scoundrel at an end, right?
Well,
right?
Well, if anyone would do a thing like that to me, yes, I suppose I would.
Big John?
Yes?
meet that scoundrel who's going to do such a thing to you.
What?
I, Yuki Butcher, hereby serve notice that I am about to take Miss Rosalie McClanahan away from you. I shall leave now, Big John, but before I go, I wish to say to you that you and me are no longer friends. Our friendship has been broken. A beautiful woman has come between us. And so all I can say to you is good day.
Well, what was that?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
See, Big John? See? Now that Miss McClanahan is breaking up your friendships with your very best friends. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, it's started now. The war between Yuki and Big John to see who will win Miss Rosalie McClanahan. Boy, if this isn't something. To think that a girl would come between Big John and Yuki Butcher and break up their lifelong friendship. Well, that's what happens when there are girls around. Boy, why did that Miss McClanahan have to come along? And I wonder who will win, Big John or Yuki. I guess there's only one way to find out, and that's wait and see. I'll see you later, kids. Come on.